Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Conversations with online strangers. We place ads online.
Craigslist is definitely the gift that keeps on giving.
Real people respond.
You go to Singapore or Thailand. You can't not do it. The temptation is just too much.
Real problems.
Does your friend know that you're banging her?
No, he has no idea.
And anything goes.
Motto of the show. Let your Greek flag fly.
Probably the only good advice I'll ever give you is to rehide your whips and chain.
Here is your host, Kathy.
Hey, welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast with Kathy. If you haven't followed me yet on Instagram and Twitter, follow me at Strict Anonymous. I always sing that. If you want to be on the show, I'm always looking for people to call in. So if you have an interesting, naughty life story that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, you can be on the show. I'm always taping people. It's super easy. Just send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a naughty confession or any kind of confession that you want to get off your back while remaining anonymous, I've been doing anonymous confession episodes. Your confession can make it on one of those, and then I critique those episodes. I critique those confessions. You could call my confessions hotline. You could call that number 24/7. The number is 347-420-3579. 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. Leave a message. If you need more time because it hangs up on you, just call back. I edit them together. I take out any names or phone numbers, and I change the voices so you remain anonymous on those as well. The ones that don't get aired wind up on my Patreon. My Patreon is a great community. If I were you, I'd go join it. Well, it's just $5 a month. It's still $5 a month, but I will be raising it like in 1 month to $7 a month. But for right now, just for $5 a month, you get all of my episodes early and ad-free. You get naughty picks and hot picks, R-rated picks of every single one of my guests or all on my Patreon. If you've been listening to my show for a long time and want to know what all these girls look like, you're going to see them. They're all there, okay? Put in their name. They're all there. You get lots of Q&As where I answer like really crazy questions. Anything that people want to know about me, I answer them there. You also get all of the anonymous confessions that have come into my anonymous confessions line, as well as you get access to my Discord where people are getting super naughty. Discord is great because unlike Patreon, people could post their own stuff. I made it a not safe for work site, so you're allowed to post like X-rated things, and so you could do that over on my Discord. There's a lot of different channels. My guests go on there and post like their X-rated stuff. There's listeners of my show that are on there, post their stuff, as well as like I have a bi channel, a cross-dressing channel, a hoser channel, and everyone's getting super naughty and talking to each other over there. I have over 2,200 people on my Patreon, so it's a fun community. I do polls over there. That's where I interact with people the most because I'm super busy now, and so all my attention goes to my Patreon members. I can't really get back to people on DMs or anything. So if you want to be a part of that, join my Patreon. Like I said, it's literally only $5 a month. It's really cheap. Go to patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. That's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. Now today I have a super interesting episode, and it is all about cock rings. Cock rings that could save your life, okay? I have on Dr. Elliot Justin. He created a device. He is the CEO and founder of FirmTech, and he created a device called the Tech Ring, which basically is like a cock ring that gives you data while you're sleeping. It tracks your nocturnal boners. Why is that important? You're going to have to listen to the episode. He's going to fucking explain it. Dr. Justin is a doctor. He is an expert in the sex tech world. This is his first product for men. He's eventually going to come out with a product for women. But this product to me is so fascinating and so important. And it's amazing that these kinds of products are available to guys right now. He explains what it's all about. Like I said, it's kind of like a sex toy, a cock ring, but it gives you data while you sleep. And he talks about why the data that you get is super important because it's absolutely tied into your cardiovascular health. I love his product. If I was a guy, I would get it. You're definitely going to find it fascinating. He explains it all in this episode, and you're going to find it all super interesting. And then you're going to want to go buy one because, like I said, if I was a guy, I would too. So I'm going to get right to it and be right back on with Dr. Elliot Justin. All of his information is going to be in the description, okay? I'll be right back on with Dr. Justin.
This is the Strictly Anonymous Podcast.
Hi, Dr. Elliot Justin. Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. How are you today?
I'm great. Great to hear from you.
I got an email about you and what you do, and I thought, oh, this is going to be super interesting to my audience. I have a large male audience, and what you do now is you are the CEO and founder of FirmTech. You're an expert in the sex tech world, and you're going to explain what sex tech means for people that don't even know what the fuck that means. But basically, you created something called the Tech Ring, which is a cock ring that enhances pleasure and also improves cardiac health, right? I know that ED is connected. A lot of times, if you have that issue, the first thing they'll say is, oh, go to a cardiologist because there might be something wrong with your heart. Like that connection is direct, right? Is that why you're...
It's direct.
Yeah, that's why. So this cock ring, it's direct in that way too.
Well, I got involved in this because a urologist... Well, by background, I'm an emergency medicine specialist. Mm-hmm. And then in 2015, I moved into medical technology. In addition to being emergency medicine specialist, and I can assure you that short of a heart attack or a stroke, there's no emergency that concerns a man more than a limp dick.
oh my God, that's funny. Yeah.
I also founded a company many, many years ago called SwiftMD that was the second oldest telemedicine company in the United States. And I got very interested in technology for remote patient management. So I was contacted by a professor of urology at the University of Utah who wanted to count the number of nocturnal erections that men have. And I thought, what the fuck? Why do we care? I mean, everyone knows about morning wood, and we laugh about it, but I was unaware of the profound significance of nocturnal erections. So in healthcare, he told me that nocturnal erections are a leading indicator of cardiovascular health. And to say something is a leading indicator in healthcare is a very powerful statement.
Yeah.
High blood pressure, which afflicts many, many people, and also which many 80 million people have blood pressure devices at home. High blood pressure is not a leading indicator. It's an association with cardiovascular disease. And yet we pay an enormous amount of attention to it. To say leading indicator means it's predictive. So if a man is monitoring his nocturnal erections, and that number, which should be about 3 to 5, goes down to 2 or 1, that man has a cardiovascular problem until proven otherwise, or a significant medication side effect.
Wow.
With antihypertensives, antidepressants that are commonly prescribed being the... I call them the cock killers. They're also click killers as well, too.
Oh, so totally, yeah.
When he mentioned this to me, I thought, wow, that's almost like a sixth vital sign. That's because so many men have diabetes, hypertension, atherosclerosis. Wouldn't it be great if men could monitor their cardiovascular health through their favorite body part? it would become a vital sign for every guy's most, not only every guy's most vital organ, but a way of understanding that their heart health as well, too.
Yeah, and it's pretty easy. And you're saying it's simple math. Like, you used to have 5 hard-ons at night, and now if you have 2, there's a problem, and it's clear.
You got a problem.
Yeah,
right.
Interesting.
So the challenge then, so when he said this to me, I said, well, wait a second, we can do even better because you're just concerned with minor nocturnal erections, but what interests men more? What's going on at night when they're sleeping, or what's going on when they're trying to have sex? Let's embed sensors into a cock ring, an erection ring, and have something that can only be worn overnight, but can be worn during sex. And with this data, men can then measure the impact of diseases like diabetes, hypertension upon their sexual performance, medications, and I mentioned the antihypertensives and the SSRIs that are so problematic, but also diet, exercise, supplements, even relationships upon their sexual performance.
Wow. So that so you're getting data in that cock ring.
Correct. We have data now about men's sexual health that no one else in the world has. Because previously, the only device that could be used for this was something called a ridge scan. That goes back to the 1990s. Looks like something Dr. Frankenstein would put in your penis. You have wires coming out of it. And it's attached to the big monitoring box. And you either have to go into a sleep lab or you have to take this clunky, huge thing home and kind of lie still on your back, and it's uncomfortable. I tried it once. And so I wanted to come up with a wearable. I actually call this the world's first underwearable, just to be clever. So you and I live in this age of healthcare wearables. We know lots of people have smart watches, smart rings, smart cardiac bands, and even digital scales. And so with this age of digital health and wearables, there's this gap, and it's the most motivating gap, and it's sex. Because what do men care more about? What will make them pay more attention to their heart health? Telling them that they need to take more steps, or telling them that, hey, your penis is not working, or will soon stop working. So if a man has a decreasing number of nocturnal erections and it goes to say down to one or zero, that man's going to have is at a 56% risk, 56% chance risk of having, I say patients, are they really customers? But I'm a doctor, so I call them patients.
Yeah.
I'm aware of two men who have used our device to see their cardiac risk. Both, one guy was in his 50s, the other guy was in his 60s, and they were monitoring their nocturnal erections. One started out with just two, and he went to a doctor, and he ended up with cardiac catheterization. And the other guy went from five down to one over the course of 4 or 5 months, and he also went to a cardiologist and ended up getting catheterized. So I can't say this life that I know that we've saved lives, but I know that we've changed lives because ideally, of course, you want to pick up a cardiovascular problem before you have the actual heart attack or stroke.
For sure. Data is so important, and it's so amazing that nowadays these kinds of things exist. That's what sex tech is, right? Just sort of taking technology, putting it into sex, and now you're adding that whole, like, the healthcare aspect to it.
Yeah, sex tech, in my mind, falls into two categories, mm-hmm. and we're in one of them. So one category is about giving people health information, critically important information about their health. Because as the cliche goes, if you can track it, you can hack it. And you need data in order to do that. Not just some doctor's opinion or some friend's opinion, but data. Because one of the things that our device gives people is personal data. We doctors are kind of assholes about how we prescribe things. I don't know you. You're a woman. I don't know what you weigh. I don't know how old you are. But if you and I both went to a psychiatrist, for example, or an internist with and said, hey, I got high blood pressure or I'm depressed, they put us on the same medicine, regardless of because in medicine, we kind of generalize about people, whereas with the data that we're giving people is actionable and personable. So we have people who we see, for example, they benefit from testosterone therapy, or they don't. But you wouldn't know that if they both went to a doctor, they would take in the same dose. But our data reveals who has a real problem. The other part of sex tech is just novelties.
Yeah.
So it's, hey, you and I are having an affair, and right now we're each watching the same, you know, genre of porn on our virtual glasses, and we can play around and vibrate each other.
Yeah.
That's a novelty. It's fun, and that's frankly unfortunately where most of the money is gone, because our device for men is there are only two devices that provide the information that we do, and the other device just counts and measure the duration of nocturnal erections, whereas our device measures hardness as well. And our device can be worn during penetrative sex, during masturbation. So we give a lot more information than the only other product in the space. To get the nocturnal tracking data, uh-huh. we recommend people wear it at least four times because the sensors need to calibrate to people's body. After that, you can just, if you were an older person with diabetes or hypertension, we'd say, hey, use it four times a month. If you're a younger guy who are 50 with a risk factor, maybe once a month, twice a month would probably do. It's not like you have to wear it all the time. And you don't have to wear it for 24 hours. Though we do have people who do wear it for 24 hours. They tend to be – the people I only know who are doing that right now are very sexually active. And they're actually looking to gamify it. They want to gamify their data as opposed to
– oh, my God, hilarious.
They want to know, gee, I spent 6 hours hard out of the last 24 hours.
Spring has sprung and the summer's just around the corner. Now, I don't know if you're like me and you're totally hornier in the warmer weather. Well, if you are, then you need to download the Dipsy app. Dipsy is an app full of short, sexy audio stories. No matter what you're into or what turns you on, Dipsy has something for you. They bring hot scenarios to life with killer soundscapes and realistic characters. Discover stories about all kinds of super hot and super heavy hookups. They literally have hundreds of stories to choose from, and they release content every week. So in between listening to your fave stories again and again, you could always find something new to explore. They also have sleep stories and wellness sessions and sexy written stories as well. And they also have what I love most about Dipsy, their jump to the action button. So if you're super horny and you want to get right to it, you just press a button and it takes you right to where the action starts. So what are you waiting for? Go get Dipsy now. And for listeners of this show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to zipsystories.com/strictlyanon. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/strictlyanon. dipsystories.com/strictlyanon. Or just go to the description, click on the link, and get 30 days of free access.
So what we're doing is...
Good news. Strictly Anonymous Podcast is looking for people to call into the show. So if you lead an interesting, naughty secret life that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, if you're out and proud, that's cool too. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. That's strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a short confession that you want to get off your back, call my confessions hotline, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. I change all the voices on the confessions too, so you remain anonymous. The number, the website, and the email address will all be in the description.
Is unique and valuable. It's a health product as well as, but there's the other benefit is, well, I'll put it this way. When this doctor came to me with this idea, I realized that I would have to reinvent the cock ring. So cock rings for 150 years have been made out of hard silicone. They're uncomfortable. They pinch. Men put up with them. You can only wear them 20, 30 minutes. You have to have an erection first to put it on because they choke off the blood supply. And then I haven't really caught on. I'm 10% of straight men who are sexually active use cock rings, and 90% of gay guys do. So one of the jokes we have at medical conventions, like the American Urology Association, is how do you tell the difference between this would be good for women who are trying to decide whether a guy's straight or gay?
Yeah, tell me.
Ask one question. Do you use a cock ring? Because the joke with doctors, the straight doctors, like, oh, I don't need pride. No.
Yeah.
And the gay doctors, like, yeah, last night you got a better one. So men don't realize is that if you want to last longer, you want to have more pleasure, you actually, whether you have ED or don't have ED, you should put a ring on it. So in terms of reinventing the cock ring, I had something that could be worn overnight and cannot tell erections. One, it had to be comfortable. So we make ours out of a soft elastomer rather than silicone. Two, it had to allow arterial blood flow into the penis. Otherwise, these guys at night would not get they would get erection because we'd be choking off the blood supply.
Right.
And it'd be dangerous. So we had to come up with the right degree of compression that it would allow arterial blood in and only marginally constrain the venous return unless it were tightened. If you're wearing it for sex, then you tighten it up in order to keep the blood in the penis. If you're just wearing it overnight for data, that's not necessary. So our device opens and closes the hook for safety reasons, so it's easy on, easy off. That idea came from my wife's bra. I don't know about you. I don't know what you look like. But I would say this. If you put on a bra that was four sizes too small, which is what a silicone cock ring is like, you put on that bra, you want the damn thing off right away.
Totally.
So we had to, our thought with the ring was, I was scratching my wife's back which I think probably about how half of heterosexual sex in the world starts, then guys are married or in a committed relationship. Women want that bra off at night because it's uncomfortable, because silicone is irritating to the skin.
Yeah.
The silicone makes you adapt to it rather than adapting to you. And elastomers do the opposite. Elastomers in general adapt to you. So I was scratching her back, and I looked down the ground at her bra and thought, oh, a bra is a ring that opens and closes with a hook. Why don't we make a cock ring? Instead of being like an O-shaped gasket, a plumbing tool, why don't we make a ring that opens and closes with a hook so it's easy on, easy off, safe? So we've changed the form. Our rings can put on when men are soft, when they're flaccid. You can put on discreetly. You don't have to interrupt sex play to put it on. The rings are also designed to put pressure over the urethra,
mm-hmm.
not choke off the urethra. What does that do for men? Well, it prolongs the ejaculation. And so for a man, the longer the ejaculation, the more powerful the orgasm.
Right.
So we hold more blood in, more blood is held in the penis. the more sensitive the penis is. We prolong the ejaculation, and we provide data. So we're accomplishing two missions. We're giving people data that's potentially life-changing, and we're also enhancing a man's pleasure, but also his partner's pleasure as well, too, because a man who has a ring on knows he's going to last, and that's a big confidence builder for men, but also for their partners.
Yeah, and I think a lot of guys don't understand that because, like you said, a lot of straight guys probably never really ever used one. I only knew one guy that I had sex with that used it, but he had a getting it up problem. That's how he came to find them and use them, and that's why he had it in his drawer next to his bed and that we would use them. I kind of liked it. It was kind of fun having this extra thing sort of hitting you when they're penetrating. So
yeah,
it's pleasurable for the woman.
We have, well, I'll talk about the vibration in one second.
Yeah.
But that's been, that's what women report. Our device is covered with, our ring is covered with soft elastomer. So put a little lube on that, and that's a better surface, more pleasurable surface area for many women. Because as women get older, grinding clitoris on pubic bone or pubic hair is not pleasurable. I'm speaking for women, of course, but that's what I've been told by my wife and by other women. So if you add something that's soft and elastomer in between, it has more surface area, you're helping women as well, too.
And what does it actually feel like, that material that you're talking about?
Think of, you know what a stress ball is like?
Uh-huh.
Stress ball? Mm-hmm. It's like a stress ball.
Okay, cool. People should go also, like, I'm looking at it right now. If anyone's, like, in front of a computer while you're talking, if they want to see what you're talking about, it's myfirmtech.com. We'll give out all the information later, too, but I just wanted to tell people, because I'm actually looking at it while we're speaking. So go on. Sorry.
So, you know, beyond rock hard,
yeah,
there's cock ring hard. There's nothing, there's no amount of oral, vaginal, anal stimulation that's going to get a man harder than a ring. So it's really it's good for men, but it's also for both partners. And we also have data that shows that a ring is more effective than a PDE5 medication like Viagra or Cialis.
Really?
There'll be published data about that later on this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the PDE5 medications, which Viagra and Cialis are the big brands, they put more blood in the penis, but they're not very good at keeping it there.
Oh, interesting.
And most men's problem is not getting blood in. Most men's problem is keeping it there. And that could be due to anxiety, alcohol, distraction, medications, too much marijuana. So the ring becomes an aid,
yeah,
as well as an enhancer to that problem. I don't technically have ED, and my wife and I try to make love most nights. We never used erection rings previously, but now we use them all the time.
Interesting.
Why? Because it's more pleasurable for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we find, you're significantly younger than me, but at my age, I'm 71, my wife is 70, there's a sort of, hey, we're both turned on, this sort of this rush to orgasm, if you will. I think it's true for younger people as well, too. This sort of rush to orgasm. But it really is, it's not, but if a guy knows, well, I'm not going to lose his erection. And the woman knows that, too. Well, suddenly you find, and my wife and I, it's been just changed our lovemaking, our romance. We find ourselves making love longer, more positions, less direct stimulation, more edging, et cetera, you know, for both of us. And therefore, it's better. And that's kind of cool after being married for decades.
Yeah, that's super interesting because you're not like, you're taking the guesswork out. Like you said, you're going to last. So you don't have that worry. And the woman also knows. So you could have more fun.
Well, this is not about the data, but but one of the things that in my marriage and other guys complain about this with their wives or laugh about it, both, that many women will acknowledge is that in the middle mutually engaging sex in a committed relationship or a marriage, women will suddenly start talking about something that happened at work, something that happened with their mother, some with the kids, because it's true, right?
Yeah, so, when you're comfortable with someone.
Just a couple of weeks, just 2 weeks ago, my wife came up with a really great redesign idea for a bedroom. I didn't particularly want to hear about that moment, though. But if you have a ring, ordinarily, after all these decades of marriage, my reaction would be, what the fuck? Can't hold out that thought for 5-10 minutes? With a ring on, it's different. Okay, well, sure. We had one time, when I first came up with this material, it was February, and I'm in Montana, and my wife suddenly remembered that she had left the garage door open. Well, ordinarily, after 3 decades of marriage, that would have been a WTF moment and anger on my part and going to bed without sex, both of us being grumpy.
Yeah.
Instead, I went downstairs closed the garage door, came back upstairs, and I still had a hard-on. Well, you know, and as well, a guy with a hard-on thinks differently than a guy who's lost his hard-on.
It's like you're in a drunk state. I always say that for sure. It's a different, you're in a different headspace.
Yeah, and my wife laughed about it because it was, because it's, she actually, well, it, I said it was a test, but it really, but it, in a way, but it was a test of the impact of a ring as a confidence builder and erection sustainer upon lovemaking.
Yeah. So what's super interesting about your device is that after four times of them using it, they're going to get their data, right? The person gets the data. You're going to explain to me exactly how it works when someone buys it, the whole process sure. and everything. But I'm assuming after that, it's like they have a great sex toy too. They could always continue to get that data and monitor it because things could change at any time. But in between that time, they have a great cock ring because you did say something before about I'll get to the vibration. It does also vibrate, right?
So there's no vibrator now.
Oh, okay.
One of the problems with vibrators in cock rings is that they're not in the right anatomic position for women. The clitoris is 3.5 centimeters away from the base of the dorsum of the penis.
Right.
So if the vibrator's in the ring itself, it's not effective. And then there are devices that other companies make which provide a rather large vibrator for women to grind on. But in our focus group of women, women didn't like them, and the men didn't like them either. The device was too big and obtrusive, and it was the device. It might look slick, but it's covered with silicone, which is not a soft material. And so we have a vibrator coming out with called the Duet. It's covered with a soft elastomer. It's small, smaller than like the products by Lilo, WeVibe that are out in the market. And because our ring opens and closes, we can now slide things onto the ring. So the Duet vibrator,
the add-on,
can be slid onto the ring, or it can be slid off the ring. So it can be used.
Awesome.
It can be used solo by women. It can be used during penetrative sex, and there are a lot of guys starting to use vibrators during masturbation as well too. So it can be used by a man as well. So it has. So it's modular. That's right. It can be. It's an attachment.
Yeah, that's interesting. Used. How long before that comes on market?
July.
Oh, okay. That's pretty soon.
We'll have the first shipment supposed to arrive the last week of July. So we will have a soft launch in August and then a hard launch in like a month later, late September probably.
So if anyone's hearing this episode in that time, and that's a great thing about podcasts, they sort of live on forever. If anyone's listening to this in July or August, you could go to your website. That will be an add-on
right.
that people could throw in there. But without, and this might be a dumb question, I'm not a guy. Is a cock ring something that a guy would use if they're jerking off, or is it typically something that you use when you're having sex with someone?
I use it for both.
Okay, interesting.
Masturbation and sex. Why wouldn't you? If it's going to produce a more intense orgasm, and I would. We sold about 12,000, and we really try not to intrude upon people's privacy. So we have not asked what. Aside from asking, we do ask about the data, but we've not asked whether people use it for.
Yeah, that kind of data.
For sex or for masturbation.
And you can't tell in the data, right? Like you can't tell, at this time, this guy was like very performative, right?
No, exactly. it's the waveform looks the same, whether someone's masturbating or not masturbating.
Yeah. So walk me through the process. Like somebody goes onto your website, they order the FirmTech cock ring. You know, how do they get their data? Is it like connected to an app or you send it to them via email?
We're in the Google and Apple stores. Mm-hmm. People can actually look at it before they buy it.
Uh-huh.
It's Bluetooth enabled. When the device is on your body, the Bluetooth is off.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are people concerned about the radiation from the Bluetooth.
Right.
These people, they're getting a lot more radiation from the cell phone in their pocket than they're getting from our device. But that's it. The Bluetooth is off, and then in the morning or after they have sex, they then resync their device with their phone. The data is cyber protected. It goes to the cloud. And when it goes to the cloud, the data is anonymatized, meaning if I told the company that, hey, my address is elliot@myfirmtech.com, when I register the product, when it goes to the cloud would turn that into some random numbers. So we don't have that. There's only one person in the company has access to the data, and he has, because someone needed to for medical purposes. But he has a HIPAA contract. We're compliant with the government's health privacy protection.
So people, no one's going to know that somebody bought this, is getting that data.
Correct.
But right. And then, so is it on an app or, and my other question would be like, do they get, because you're a doctor, you're an MD, do you give them information yourself or is it just?
We can give advice, but we can give advice, but we can't prescribe. And people can contact me and hundreds have, and ask me to help them interpret their data because they're reluctant to discuss these things with their doctor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doctors do not do a good job in this area. I've never had a doctor warn me or tell me about the sexual side effects of medication. I never had a doctor ask me about my marriage or my love life. And they should, because this is such an important part of people's overall health. And also now we know it's part of their cardiovascular health as well. Yeah. So we doctors need to do a better job about this, but we're not going to. So people get the data. The data looks like what people get with an Apple, the smart Apple Watch, or mm-hmm. with a Whoop or an Aura. We give people an overall erectile fitness score. We tell them the number and duration of their nocturnal erections. We tell them that the hardness of all their erections, and people are then empowered with personal, objective, actionable data.
Now, this might be a dumb question, but I'm assuming, because you created this device to pick up the data, that guys don't know how many nocturnal hard-ons they're having, correct?
Correct. They have no idea what's sleeping. You don't know how many nocturnal erections you're getting.
I'm getting them too.
And
women,
you are getting
too?
Them. Yeah, women have them too.
No way. What happens to them? What, your clit gets engorged and like
that? The clit gets engorged, exactly. Uh-huh. And no one has really studied this since Masters and Johnson. But yeah. we have developed a device for women that will do this. We hope to bring that device out in 2025, contingent upon a fundraise.
And that information for women is going to tell them what about themselves?
It's going to be more valuable to, well, it's going to be a broader use to women than of men.
In what
Why
way?
Is that? Well, premenopausal women have protection and some degree of protection against heart disease. But postmenopausal women have all the same problems that men do with hypertension, atherosclerosis, diabetes.
Totally, yeah. Mm-hmm.
More of a problem with obesity than men do. But premenopausal women take hormones for birth control, and they take these hormones for birth control, and they take SSRI antidepressants 5 or 6 times as men do, and those things are killers of their libido and their sexual performance.
Totally.
So
also the birth control pill kills your libido too.
Yeah, the hormones. So yeah. if you have data, you can then say what's working for me, what's not working for me.
Interesting.
What's the right dose?
Mm-hmm.
I can titrate the dose. So what we're doing is going to transform not just urology, but also gynecology.
Yeah, I'm someone that loves data. I think you could get so much from it. And I'm also someone that knows that, listen, you cannot prescribe to me what you prescribe to somebody that lives down the block from me. We're all so different. I've gotten
exactly.
That thing that I put on my arm that diabetics get to see how my body reacts to different food. And just because my body reacts to something one way doesn't mean that somebody else is going to react the same. It's so specific. And I love that this kind of information, the fact that it's available to people and people could go out and get it is unbelievable if you really think about it, right? Because we were all sort of bound to our doctors and they never, like you said, they kind of like it's a one size fits all. And that to me was never like the best way to go about things. And it's amazing that people can go out, buy your device and get that kind of data for themselves. And because that wasn't the case 10 years ago.
That's right. Well, we our product has really only been available for a year and a half.
Uh-huh.
And so but I'm confident that it will become a standard for care and standard for research in the future. Not necessarily our device, because other companies will make the same type of thing we're making, but that our push to deliver objective data about sexual health and its reflection upon cardiovascular health, that will be, in the future, if a 50-year-old man goes to a doctor and they don't want to know that guy's erectile fitness score, It'd be like going to a doctor and the doctor not taking your blood pressure. It will become a standard for care.
But I also think a lot of guys, because like you said, a guy wants to very much tie to his ego, his hard on. So a lot of guys don't necessarily want to walk into a doctor's office and look at another man and be like, hey, I can't fucking get it up. So what's great about this is it's also kind of in the privacy of your own home. You're getting that data.
That's
you don't
right.
have to go talk to somebody about your quote unquote problem that you think you might have. So I think that that's another benefit.
That's correct.
Yeah. And listen, I think a lot of guys just don't know that this type of thing is available. I don't know. Why aren't you on Shark Tank? Did you go on Shark Tank before? I love Shark Tank.
it takes 3 years to get on Shark Tank and it's hard to get on.
Go on. No, I love Shark Tank. Go on for your female product. Then you blow
it's hard.
Up.
It's yeah, hard. But we run David Meltzer's 2 minute drill. And one thing that's inhibiting, we're marketing ourselves predominantly, frankly, through podcasts.
Huh? It's great.
People find us online. There are 4 research papers that will be published this year. There'll be another 4 to 6 research published next year because we want doctors to know this is out there.
Yeah.
We just don't have the money. We don't have the money for a big media buy. There are companies in this space that are spending $8,000-$10,000 a day on marketing and they're selling junk.
Yeah.
But you know, you can sell anything. If you have a lot of money, you can sell anything because people have hopes. And an example of that are all the nutraceuticals. You can go into gas stations and pharmacies around the country, and for men and women, you can buy something that's supposedly going to make your heart stronger or make you hornier. And almost all those oral products don't work, but people have hope, so they spend the money.
Yeah, well, listen, I think a lot of people listening now, a lot of people probably never knew that a product like this existed. They want to get it. And I think like it's not even that expensive. Like, why don't you give out some details? Because what I'm looking at is like it's not a lot of money.
The high end product is a tech ring.
Mm-hmm.
And it's $275, mm-hmm. which is about almost half the price or a little bit more than half the price of a smartwatch or a smart ring. And what do men care more about, their penis or how many steps they took yesterday?
Right, exactly.
And that's a rhetorical question. And then we have a device called the Maxim Performance Ring. And so this is a device without technology. It's $60. But this is a device that is designed to do 2 things. One, if you have ED, it will keep you longer. It'll help sustain your erection. If you don't have ED, it'll do the same thing, and it'll also intensify for all men, it will intensify their orgasm. So how do we do that? We put the maximum performance ring, the tech ring is softer.
Yeah.
It has to be worn overnight.
Uh-huh.
So, and it can be made tighter for pleasure by sliding it through the loop. The maximum performance ring it's tighter. It's a stiffer elastomer. Like really should only be worn for maybe 90 minutes at the most. And it's specifically designed, though, to put pressure over the urethra to prolong the ejaculation. So my ejaculation with a maximum performance ring goes from 4 seconds to 7 seconds.
Wow.
That's an intense orgasm. And most guys, because they masturbate so much, they consider themselves to be gourmets or connoisseurs of their own orgasm.
Yeah.
I never used an erection ring because I didn't need one. But now that my wife and I don't have sex without the maximum performance ring, and I don't think – If I go to bed without it, she'll say, "Well, don't you have the ring on?"
Yeah,
because she wants me to have a maximum experience, and she also wants her first for herself too. Because as I said before, there's just not the rush to penetrate, get it on when you know that you're going to be hard for a longer period of time.
And doesn't that time of orgasm change as you get older anyway? Because I know that I see with my guy friends as we've gotten older, their concerns are like, did I come as much? Did I last as long? Is my dick as big? Because things, sure. I think guys, they're hyper fixated on their cocks their whole life, right? They know what's going down and what's happening. And there is a change that happens as you get older.
And I think, and we also live all ages now. People doing more work on male body dysmorphia. I mean, it's always been an issue for women. I mean, going back to Twiggy.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
And the anorexia nervosa. Mm-hmm. Women have body image problems. And back in the clothing might have been a lot more uncomfortable back in the 19th and early 20th century, but it's also a lot more forgiving of women's, what happens naturally to women's figures. Well, men have the same issues now, too. And they know that they're competing with porn. Women, too. They compete with porn. There was a time share an anecdote. This goes back a ways, but maybe my daughter, she's a junior in high school, and she had a bunch of her girlfriends over, and I was cooking dinner for them. I'm a really good cook, and the girls are talking about how small the boys, both one of the boys' penises in Bozeman High School here in town, because it's so small.
Oh my God.
And I felt like I had to say, you guys are just watching porn.
Right.
These guys, I'm certain these guys are average. And I said, well, you know what? They're probably thinking about you. And the girls looked at me and said, they're probably thinking Ralph Flat-chested. Because porn, you know.
Yeah.
And another recent conversation I had with my daughter, she just got engaged. And so she's having a girl party with some of her friends. And the girls were talking about, the seven girls there, they're talking about penis size. And so Eleanor, my daughter, because she knows about this business, she knows what the average, you know, we actually provide on a website a calculator of penis sizes so people know where they stand.
Oh, interesting. Really?
Yeah. So she said, well, how big are your boyfriends or husbands? And the girls, the smallest one was like 7 inches. And Eleanor just laughed because there's no way. But that comes from porn.
Yeah, 100%. Totally. And it's sad because nowadays porn is so easily available to the younger generation that they're having a very unrealistic sort of view of real life, right? On both ends, for women and men.
Yeah, to your point, men do have this concern that they might not have had 50 years ago.
Yeah, not just the older guys too, like you're saying.
The younger guys too.
Yeah, you're right. Because of porn.
The rate of ED among men aged 30 has doubled in the last 20 years.
Wow. And what do you think it's because, well,
I think it's performance anxiety. I think these guys are, and then people, that's not just porn. It's just, you watch the Game of Thrones or HBO sex. Yeah. It's a nice fantasy. I'm going to throw someone up against the wall and she's going to wrap her legs around me. And we're both going to get off in 3 minutes. That's not the real world. Or is it, she's going to push me back on the bed, tear my clothing off, and she's going to ride me and we're both going to get off in 90 seconds.
Right.
That's not the real world. And actually it shouldn't be, because people, at medical sexology conferences, they talk about how the average man comes in 7 minutes, the average woman comes in 14 minutes. What does that really mean? Is that at the average of guys who are 20, the average of guys who are 70? What should people want? So what people really should want is to draw out the pleasure. If I came in 7 minutes, both my wife and I, both of us would be disappointed, because we don't want that.
Yeah.
We want a more romantic, emotionally engaging experience. And that means you take yourself and your partner to the edge, as opposed to porn sex. So it's people need to communicate with the partners better about what is it they want. And they need, and rings, just the way vibrators have gone mainstream. Vibrators back in the 80s, women were like, oh, it's not really a natural orgasm. Now they're, yeah. now they're mainstream.
Yeah,
our daughter takes them on dates. men think that way about cock rings.
Yeah.
It is not an aid. It's not a crutch. It's an enhancer. And if you do, that's for all men. If you do have a problem, why wouldn't you want to use something that's going to make it better? So
I used to always feel bad for guys because I loved sex toys and I'd always go shopping at different times, Adam and Eve, and fill up my card and it would get that box and you got all these things to play with.
Sure.
And I'd be like, guys don't have that much. What do guys have? Like, I don't know that guys sort of tap into that market, but it's not there for them. Yeah.
It's just kind of amused me because I continually hear complaints from women about how men get all the attention,
right,
and the money spent on them. But it really isn't. If you go to a sex toy expo,
women.
They're all for women. Given this forest of dildos and vibrators, and if you exclude the condoms, it's all for women.
Yeah.
And then for men, you have these ineffective, ugly strokers. You can't improve on a hand or a mouth. And then you have these.
Oh my God! They have lips on the end of them. They're so funny looking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they haven't caught on. They haven't caught on for good reasons. They're ugly and they're ineffective. So we're really trying to focus on one, providing people with life changing, with really valuable data, but also with enhancing their pleasure in a way comes from physiology, that's derived from, frankly, from my knowledge of the human body. We want to, what is an erection about? Well, there's blood that goes in and blood that comes out. So you want to maximize the blood in, and you want to minimize the blood that comes out. You want to constrain the return. And the best solution is a ring plus a PDE5 medication. So we did a study of detumescence. So tumescence in medical term is the time it takes to get erect. Uh-huh. And detumescence is the time it takes for the erection to go down after climax. So the more blood that's held in the penis, the longer the tumescence phase will be. Now, the erection goes away in 25 to 35 seconds with nothing. Erection with tadalafil 10 milligrams, the erection goes away in 2.5 minutes. With our ring, of course, the maximum performance ring, it goes away in about a little bit over four minutes. And with both together, it's a little bit over 5 minutes. So what's the takeaway for that is, hey, men, whether you have ED or don't have ED, put a ring on it and take a pill.
Yeah.
And don't think about these things as crutches. Think about them as enhancers. Think of these things should be, you just mentioned something earlier that kind of tweaked me. Early on in my medical career, I'm 71 years old. I'm in the 70s and the 80s. Women were who had problems in bed were still referred to as being frigid or hysteric.
Totally.
And anorgasmic. I haven't heard the word frigid describe a woman ever in decades, really in decades.
Yeah.
But guys get described as impotent, limp dick, noodle dick. It's still okay to ridicule men. And this just, of course, intensifies their insecurities and their anxieties if they do have a problem. So similarly, vibrators are regarded as crutches, not as enhancers. And now things have totally changed for women, and we need to change that for men. We need to mainstream cock rings, effective and comfortable cock rings, as enhancers of pleasure. And we need to, we as a culture need to stop ridiculing men.
Yeah, and I honestly think that like the whole ridiculing of men comes from men themselves. Women are very forgiving of certain things. Like when I met that guy and he couldn't get it up and he had a cock ring, I could have given a shit. I really liked him. Do you know what I mean? Like that's just how women roll. Like we're not like, oh my God, he can't get it up, dump him, leave. I don't know. It's just women, you bring home a cock ring, she's not going to think anything of it. I just think it's more of a hang up that guys have for themselves.
Yeah, probably right.
Yeah, and they need to get over it. Like I said, I always felt bad for guys. Like they don't have all these fun toys. Go get yourself a cock ring and use it as a toy. And then the fact that there's data on top of it that could save your life, why not have that? Like to me, that's the beauty of these times. That's what technology is all about. Like a lot of people are like, oh, technology, it brings us all this bad stuff. Yeah, there's always going to be bad connected, but the good stuff that comes with technology is this kind of information. Like I said, the fact that I could put something on my arm and get information of how my blood glucose level goes when I eat certain things is a fucking amazing. And the fact that a guy, because like you said, 1,000%, a guy's cock is like the most important thing. I think that's the data they want the most. And I just think a lot of guys haven't bought your data cock ring yet because they don't know it exists, but they should run out to get it because it is a toy, but it's also going to give you this important information that I think, like you said, it can happen. Your health changes at all times. So to have this in your back pocket and get that data whenever you want it is great. You can use it that way, right? You could use it in the beginning, and 2 years from now, put it on and use it.
Especially at my age,
yeah.
I check my data about 2 to 4 times a month because it's an early warning sign of a heart attack or a stroke. Why wouldn't I? I'd be an idiot not to.
Yeah, I don't understand people that aren't curious about that any kind of data that's available. Do you know what I mean? It's literally like the difference between life and death on a certain level, right? And I just don't understand. I think that I see my body like a car. The more I take good care of it, the more I put it into for its yearly checkups and everything. That's a car 10 years later. It's going to be healthier than the person that doesn't never feeds their, takes care of their car. And just so many people don't sort of focus on those things, and I think that they should. And I, like I said before, what's great is that right now we are in a time where it's easier to take care of yourself than it ever has been, because you could do it in the privacy of your own home. You could get any kind of blood test you want nowadays, right? You could get data on how many hard-ons you're having in the middle of the night, and that, like you said, is directly related to your cardiovascular health. Like every guy over a certain age needs that information.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, for sure. I'm all for it. I'm going to push your fucking product. I love it. I think it's great. I'm just like I'm like one of those people that is obsessed with data. Like I said, I don't understand people that aren't. I just highly recommend it because I think that it's great. I think that your prices also are really great. And then the positive is that it's also a sex toy, and that's how people should look at it. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fucking fun, and guys need to get over it and should try cock rings, like you said, just even just for the pleasure. Why don't you give out all of your information and all that kind of good stuff so people know where to find you, know what to buy, know that they could email you to get the data, what the data is going to look like, all that kind of stuff.
Well, you can learn more about us online at myfirmtech.com. Mm-hmm. Myfirmtech.com. You can contact me directly at Elliot, E-L-L-I-O-T, at myfirmtech.com. We're also on Amazon, although, of course, you'd rather you come to us rather than go to Amazon.
Yeah, yeah.
And we are in the performance ring is in certain sex toy stores. But again, we obviously would rather people to shop online, you know, for us. It benefits the company more.
Yeah. So I'm going to put a link directly to your website, and then I will have a coupon code because you're going to give my listeners some sort of discount, right? If they use
that's
my
correct.
Code.
Okay. Exactly. That's exactly right.
All right. Awesome. So the code is strictly anon. I'll put that in there, and then they will get a discount on what they buy on your, is it just for the one product? Is it for either or?
The discount is for all products.
Okay, great. So what is the discount?
10%.
Oh, okay, so it's 10% of whatever they buy off your website, right? That's where they got to use it. It's going to be strictly anon. And we talked about here the FirmTech ring, right? That's the $275 product. You have the FirmTech performance ring, which is $60. You have a couple other products on there.
And we have the maximum performance ring. So the maximum performance ring is for most men. The performance ring is for men who are genuinely larger.
Oh, interesting.
And
okay.
We have a calculator for men who are in the 95th percentile or better, and they can calculate that.
Where's that calculator?
It's on the website.
Oh, okay. But like where on the website? Because I'm looking for it. When you were so brought it up, I was like, where the fuck is this calculator? I found it. You click on Will FirmTech Rings Fit Me? You click on that, and that's going to say check my size, and you click there.
Okay.
Okay. Good. So if you don't see it right on the website, go into that chat box, and that's where I feel like a lot of people are just going to go check their size. Don't you think?
Yeah, I do.
I know how these guys think.
We have had guys who have gotten their performance ring and then they say, hey, can we swap that? Because they really aren't that big.
Oh my God, hilarious. So quick.
And we have swapped it a few times.
And you have? Because they needed smaller?
Yeah.
They sized up.
The bell curve for penis size is really steep. Most men are within half, three-quarter centimeters of the median. So it's not... I'll put it this way. There's a lot less variability with cock size than there is with breast size. A lot less variability.
There is. I was always wearing the wrong bra for a really long time. I didn't. How did I know? No, seriously, it's hard to figure out your size. But you're saying it's easier to find a guy size.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Because almost everyone is within a centimeter of someone else.
And what would you say? Do you know? I feel like you would have this data because I talk about dick size a lot of my show, and people are obsessed with that topic. People will be like, "Oh, the average is 6 to 8," and I'm like, "No way!" To me, the average seems like 4 to 6. What is the average size? Do you know?
I believe off the top of my head, I'd have to go back to the graph. I think the median is 5 and 3/4 inches.
Oh, okay. So somewhere in between what I said, the 4 and 6,
so just,
right?
Just more like just shy of 6 is the average. And I don't think that women or men can spot the difference between 5 1/4 and 6 1/4. They just
definitely not. And I don't think that they care about that little thing. But I think guys do, and that's why they need to get your cock ring, because it's going to make them last longer, stay harder.
And I think that there are women who now care, but I think they're under the influence of porn.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
women watch more porn than you could imagine.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I had a woman on who created a porn site called Afterglow. It was kind of like porn for women made by women. And you know what the number one thing that women Googled for porn was? Gangbang. Gangbang porn. Now, yeah. I know if I have someone on my show that did a gangbang, I know a lot of guys are clicking on my episode, but I didn't realize it's also the hottest fantasy for women, too. That's the porn they look at. Besides girl-on-girl porn, it's gangbang porn.
I think it doesn't interest me at all, but yeah. I know there's and women, feminists especially, complain about Pornhub that so much of it is a lot of rape fantasy porn.
Yeah.
But then Pornhub, there's some sexologist who did a survey with Pornhub, and 40% of the women watching 40% of the people watching porn, rape porn, really aggressive, dominating porn, were women.
Yes.
I think it's become, and
yes, it's true. That's a big fantasy for women. It's one of the most common one, I think. So it's
yeah, and you get and if you want, again, it gets back to my mind, HBO and Game of Thrones porn. It's just it those scenes are not there to appeal to men. Those scenes are actually there to appeal to women.
Yeah, totally. Well, your product is for men right now. Hopefully you're going to bring out, when you bring out the women's product, come back on my show. We'll talk about that too.
It'll be about a year, but yes, I'd love to.
Yeah, I love it. So listen, I love what you're doing. I think it's great. I highly recommend your product. If I was a guy, I'd buy it, okay? Because I love data and I think it's super important. And I love that you don't have to go to the doctor and ask for it. You could order it straight to your house and get so much information. And then also see how great it is to put on a cock ring and use it, even when you're just having fun, and how much your girl's gonna love it too, because like I said, I enjoy a cock ring. Like, it feels good for the women.
You're gonna love ours.
Okay, so listen, Dr. Elliot, thank you so much for coming on. I think that this was super informative. I think the right guys are gonna hear this episode, and I hope that you get a lot of sales, because I think what you're selling is amazing, and I think it's great for men, and I think that they should try it. So thanks so much for coming on the show. And I'll put all of your information in the description of this episode for people.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on. Okay, cool. Bye. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. If you want to be on the Strictly Anonymous podcast because you have an interesting, naughty story to tell while remaining anonymous, you could be on the show. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com. And click on Be on the Show. If you have a naughty confession, call my confessions hotline, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. If you want to follow the show, follow me at Strict Anonymous on either Instagram or Twitter. That's at Strict Anonymous. And if you want to sign up for my Patreon, you're not only supporting my show, but you're going to get all of these episodes early and ad-free. You're going to get anonymous pics of all of my guests. Most of the girls send me in anonymous hot pics of themselves, and some of the guys are sending me in anonymous pics as well. You also get access to my private Discord, where people are getting super naughty. If you sign up for my Discord, you could post whatever you want and talk to my other listeners. To sign up for my Patreon, just go to patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. That's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. The links and everything else I spoke about are all in the description. Thanks so much for listening.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone? Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. And remember, everything is Strictly Anonymous. Strictly Anonymous.